This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
Oh, wow.
Brooke?
That's bad.
Brooke.
Yeah, hold on a second here. I think I just crashed into somebody.
Okay, I'll read it. Grand Theft Auto is, of course, the video game that involves carjacking, drugs, prostitutes, and a virtual city with every last detail. Brooke is murdering her way through the fourth installment, which is expected to pull in $400 million this week after it was released to blindingly glowing reviews. Brooke, you were supposed to actually have done this last night.
Yeah, Bob, but what happened last night is I got stuck in a loop, and I was just wandering the streets of the city, and I got so lonely. The only way you can communicate with people is punching them, and I just punched for 2 hours.
Play. Just play. The ecstatic reviews for the game have been matched by stories warning parents about the extreme violence and the sexual content.
Oh, forget about it. I give up. Turn it off. The Chicago Transit Authority is removing ads for the games from their buses, and pundits have spent the week weighing in on how the game will activate the inner child psychopath. But is there any proof that violent video games breed violent children? Lawrence Kuttner, co-director of the Center for Mental Health and Media at Harvard, conducted a 2-year study funded by the U.S. Department of Justice looking into the relationship. After interviewing 1,200 middle school students and 500 parents, his short answer is no.
Well, when you look at violent youth crime, that's been going down significantly over the past 10 to 15 years. And video game play has gone up and gone up exponentially. So for the general population, there clearly is no relationship there that one does not cause the other. And probably one does not prevent the other either. They're just independent. We did find that those boys and those girls who played almost exclusively M-rated or violent games at age 12, 13, 14 were at greater risk for getting involved in fights and being bullies and things like that. But for boys, what we found is those who did not play video games at all, it's still a small number of them, were also at greater risk. And that's fascinating.
So for certain kids, if you play a lot of violent video games, you could be in trouble. And for other kids, if you don't play any video games, then that could be a marker for trouble. So there's some sort of sweet spot of video game playing that suggests everything's going to be okay?
Well, most kids play some video games, and most 12, 13, 14-year-old boys play some M-rated games. But if you go to the extremes, you seem to be looking at kids who aren't fitting in one way or another. And it was interesting a year ago when you had the shootings of Virginia Tech. Immediately after that, you had the politicians and pundits on the air talking about how this was clearly caused by video games. Well, if you look at the actual report issued by the state of Virginia that investigated this, when Seung-Hui Cho was 9 years old, they say that he didn't like violent video games. His sweet mates, the kids that he shared a dorm room with, said that he didn't play video games at all, and that really surprised them because everyone else did. And that was right in line with our findings that the boys who don't play video games at all are left out socially. It's a marker that there's some social problems there.
Did your research suggest that, in fact, violent video games could help some kids resolve issues that might otherwise result in violence?
In the interviews we did, several of the kids said that they would be angry at a particular classmate or other kid at the school and go into a video game, set up an avatar that looks kind of like that kid, and have a fight with them in the game. And at the end, they said, you know, I felt better. And several of them also said that, you know, now I didn't feel a pressure to actually fight the kid. Now, that's a hint. We don't know if that's what's going on. But most kids, when they play a game, feel better at the end of the session. They're more relaxed. If your child is more wound up or more angry at the end of a session, that's a sign that there may be something wrong and something you should pay attention to as a parent. That kid's at greater risk for other issues.
What about the difference among different ages? Surely playing Grand Theft Auto is going to affect a 17-year-old differently than a 12-year-old.
We were studying 12, 13, and 14-year-olds. And when we talked to the boys and you asked them, should you be playing this game? At what age is okay? And they give a predictable answer. You know, they give their age or a year younger. And we knew that. And then we'd say, well, what if you had an 8-year-old brother or sister? Would you let them play the game? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, why not? And they give exactly the same reasons that their own parents give about them, that they can't tell the difference between fantasy and reality. They might act impulsively. But what was really interesting, what they were protective of, and that was cursing. That's what they wanted to shield the younger kids from, because that's what they knew their siblings could actually do. One other thing, we asked the 12, 13, 14-year-old boys, is there any game you should not be allowed to play? And a response we got several times was The Sims. We went, you know, The Sims, that's sort of weird. And they said, well, they kiss. Well, that's something that's scary in the real world to a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy. They had no problem, again, with blowing up buildings or, you know, driving around in fast cars, but being kissed.
Okay, Larry, let's talk about sex. With games like Grand Theft Auto, one of the biggest complaints is violence, but there is sexual content, and people worry about that too. And although the effects are hard to measure, there can't be anything good about 12-year-olds playing a game that involves sex with prostitutes followed by running them over.
The impression that a lot of people have is that it's all about violence and sex. Whereas what we found from the kids is that they were not attracted to the violence and graphic sexual content in the game. As a matter of fact, the games that were purely violent, games like Postal and Manhunt, not a single kid said they liked playing. They found it boring. What they want is complex characters and very interesting, intricate plots. And a lot of those games happen to be M-rated. And many of the kids we talked to who played Grand Theft Auto were not familiar with some of the sexual stuff that gets touted about by the pundits. You know, there are so many ways of playing the game that they didn't, you know, they didn't run across that.
What about the less dramatic potential negative consequences? I think a lot of parents worry that playing too many video games could make your attention span shorter or maybe even spark ADD or ADHD.
I know of no evidence that shows that playing video games causes ADD. What we do find is that those children who have ADD will often be able to spend much more time concentrating on a video game than they can in a classroom. That is, they can sit still for this more than in a traditional school situation. And what it seems to be is the game is non-judgmental. This is very different from what they interpret as going on in school. And so they can make a mistake, recover, and not feel like they're being blamed for something because the computer or the console is infinitely patient in their eyes.
There is a history of new forms of youth entertainment getting vilified as they go out of the gate. We spoke last week about the hearings regarding the safety of comic books in the 50s. Is this another parallel moment in history?
It seems to be that. In the 1930s, the big concern was gangster films. You were not allowed to show the dynamiting of trains in those films out of fear that teenage boys would blow trains up all over the country. In the 1890s, the big concern, especially for teenage girls, was the new medium of that time, and that was the paperback novel.
How much do you think this fear of video games has been fueled by the media? And how much have the media simply been reflecting the concerns of parents?
I think it works both ways. You know, there has been a lot of concern by very, very well-intended people. The problem has been, are we really focusing on the main causes of violence, or is this just an easy target? And it's such a great political issue if you're running a campaign that it's hard to resist. But the scientific data do not support the dramatic claims that have been raised. It's a much more nuanced issue.
Lawrence Kuttner is co-author of Grand Theft Childhood, The Surprising Truth About Violent Video Games. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.